Grant and for all who have just been a blessing for us here today. We got to have an on-the-spot mic check on Easter morning. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Our sermon this morning is entitled, It Was For Everyone. It Was For Everyone. God, we thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for this, thy people. I pray, God, that you would be with us even more. We invite you not only more into this place, but into our hearts, God. Bless us as we are here today. Send your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit to open up our understanding. And send your Holy Spirit to lead us closer to you, Jesus the Christ. Bless all that's said and done for your edification, God, for your lifting up. For you said if you are lifted up, oh God, that you would draw all people unto you. So may your word be lifted up. May your intention, your good intentions for this world be lifted up. And may your people who are represented and their families who are represented by your people's presence here today be blessed wherever they may be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Friends, usually when I preach about the resurrection, I generally center in on Jesus as the central character. And I do this, of course, because I'm a Christian and I love to talk about Jesus, don't you? You know, I love to talk about the Christ. I love to talk about the resurrection. I love to talk about how he defeated death and how he rose from the grave. This is this kind of shouting stuff that most preachers love to do on Easter Sunday. However, this morning, as I was reading the text and preparing for it this week, it was as if the Holy Spirit said, little girl, look at that scripture again. You ever read the Bible and you see something in the Bible that you've been reading it for years? Some of us are, rather mature, we've reached a certain age, and you've been reading the Bible for years and years, and all of a sudden you read this passage of scripture and you see something in it that you have never seen before. And you're like, how have I missed this? Why is it that I've missed this? This passage of scripture for us this morning is a familiar text. It's not a text that most people who attend church, especially on Sunday, have not heard about. Either you've heard about it from the reading of John, or you've heard about it from the reading of the other Gospels, which we call the Synoptic Gospels. You've heard about this time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and of course today John. And though I wanted to talk about Jesus conquering death, hell, and the grave, when I look back at the scriptures for this morning, I saw some other things in there, and I hope you'll hang out with me for just a few minutes while I share with you some new things that I, even as a theologian, that I had not seen and had not really wrestled with, had not really deeply reflected upon in this text. So I took my first look, my friends. And when I took my first look at this text, I saw the woman Mary Magdalene. Now, many preachers are going to talk about Mary Magdalene, and some are going to get this Mary Magdalene wrong. Some are going to say that this Mary Magdalene is the woman who was a prostitute. And if they say that, they would be wrong. This is not that Mary, okay? This Mary Magdalene is the woman who remained. She stayed, as you see in the text, when the men went into hiding, when Jesus was crucified. Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus, remained. She stayed with Jesus even as he was dying. He did not die alone. Some preachers would say that he died by himself. That's not true. He did not die alone. Mary Magdalene was there at the crucifixion with him, even as the disciples ran in fear. Mary Magdalene stayed. Jesus was not utterly rejected, my friends. Mary Magdalene was there with him. She stayed. Mary Magdalene continued to believe in Jesus. Mary Magdalene continued to believe in the good news message of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene believed in the message that Jesus preached. She knew that what Jesus suffered, she knew that what Jesus ultimately died for, she knew that those things were not just for a few. But Mary Magdalene knew that what Jesus ultimately was crucified for, that it was for everyone. It was just not for a few, but it was for everyone. And so she stayed because she knew that what Jesus came to offer the world was for her too. She did not fear death. What if we stayed with Jesus? What if we walk with Jesus in the dark hours, in the dark hours of our own lives? What if we hung out with Jesus? What if we stayed with Jesus? What if we did not fear death? What if we did not fear being shamed? What if we did not fear being canceled? What if we did not fear what this world could do to us? What if instead we so grasped the message that Jesus shared that it was worth it for us to stay? What if we knew that what Jesus did was for us too? Mary Magdalene was the first disciples, my friends, and in truth, Mary Magdalene was the first apostle. She was the first one to preach the good news message of the resurrection. A woman was the first preacher of the good news, the first one who carried the message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was a woman living in a very patriarchal society. And this woman took it upon herself to get up early and to go to the tomb. Now you imagine getting up early in the morning and going to a cemetery. Some of us don't want to go to a cemetery in the broad daylight, as my dad. We won't do it in the broad daylight. But Mary got up early in the morning to go to a tomb. And this was a dangerous act for a woman. Let me tell you, it was particularly dangerous during that time, because at that time there were people known as tomb robbers. They would rob tombs. And so going to the tomb was a dangerous thing for her as a woman living in patriarchal society because of the tomb robbers, because that kind of behavior was common during that time. But she got up early and she walked to the tomb. And seeing that the stone was rolled away, Mary Magdalene makes an accurate presumption. Jesus the Christ in human form was not in the tomb. So she runs and she tells the men. And when she gets there, and when she tells them that Jesus is not in the tomb, the scriptures say that these men, they run to the tomb, and they run so swiftly that they leave her behind. And they get to the tomb, and the scripture says that these men, they check inside the tomb. They check inside the sepulcher. They check inside the tomb, and to see that the clothes, the burial clothes, are on the side and that Jesus' body is not in the tomb. And what do? They leave. They check it out. They see Jesus is not here. So they leave the tomb. And Mary remains at the tomb. Follow me here. This woman is the first one to get to the tomb. She's the first one to go and report that the body is not in the tomb. And when the disciples go and look in the tomb and see that the body is not in the tomb, they leave. But she remains at the tomb. And the writer not only says that she remains at the tomb, but the writer says that she remains at the tomb weeping. She remains at the tomb weeping, my friends. Now, why would the writer not cut that out of Scripture? What was the reason that the writer left a woman, no less, at the tomb? What was the reason that the writer left this mere woman at the tomb weeping? Why would a writer in patriarchal tradition leave a woman at the tomb weeping? Oh, my friends, I think that John wanted us to see something about the strength of this woman that we can use in our times today. I think there's something that we need to learn about the tenderness of this woman in the ministry of Jesus Christ that is helpful for us in 2024, in a time when the agency of women is again in question in this United States of America. At a time when the ability of women to choose for themselves what they want for their bodies is in question in America. We are peeping into the Scripture and we are seeing a woman with the strength to go to the tomb, who is fearless and who stays at the tomb, weeping at the tomb and deciding for herself that she is going to stay there with Jesus. Now, this was not an act that was an easy act, because Jesus had been rumored to be the King of the Jews. And yet she stays at the tomb. She stays at the tomb. It is an affront to the Roman Empire that this woman stays at the tomb. And how many of us are willing to put our bodies on the line for the good news message of Jesus the Christ? How many of us are willing to walk with Jesus to what may be the end? Because it is the message of the good news of the liberation of all of God's people, not just the male disciples, but it is the good news message of the liberation of God's women, of transgender persons on this day of trans remembrance. It is the good news message of black and white and Latino and Asian persons. How many of us are willing to stay at the tomb in the face of the Roman Empire? She stays there, and she reminds us not only of her strength as a woman, but she reminds us, my friends, that strength is not confined to muscle, but that strength is also being able to sit down and to weep even at the event of a traumatizing moment. There's strength in weeping, my friends. Y'all don't hear me this morning. There's strength in crying, my friends. Y'all hear me this morning. There's strength in just sitting down and letting the tears pour sometimes, my friends. There's strength in that. She does, my friends, as a story reminded me of a little girl who was to be home at a particular hour. She was walking her friend home, and her friend's house was just a few doors down. And she didn't come home right away, and her mom began to worry about her. Where's my baby? My baby was just supposed to walk her friend home. But shortly she comes, and her mother asks her, "Daughter, where were you? It shouldn't have taken that long for you to get home. Where were you?" And the little girl looks up at her mom and explains to her mom that her friend's doll had gotten broken. And the mother looks at the baby and says, you're home late because your friend's doll, the doll was broken. I don't understand. And the little girl looks at her mom and says, but I stayed to help her cry. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I stayed to help her cry. I stayed to be with her in that painful moment. Mary Magdalene stayed and she cried. The strength of those tears. And Mary Magdalene was just like Jesus, because Jesus, when he entered into Jerusalem, the Bible says that he did similarly. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem, and the Bible says that Jesus did what? Jesus wept. How that strengthened some tears, y'all. Jesus wept when he looked at Jerusalem and he saw what was to come. I imagine Jesus wept when he saw the wars and the turmoil of Jerusalem. I imagine that Jesus wept when he saw that there would be a wall that would be built through Jerusalem that would separate Palestinians from Jews. I imagine that Jesus wept when he looked down through the ages and could see what would happen in Gaza. I imagine that he wept. And I imagine that Mary Magdalene felt the strength even of her own tears. Sometimes, my friends, sometimes the best that we can do is to sit down and to weep. Oh, I want to shout this morning about the resurrection. I want to do what a lot of preachers will do. I want to shout you happy about the resurrection. But let me tell you, I feel the strength of tears this morning. I feel the strength of tears as I look out over our nation. I feel the strength of tears. Jesus could have summoned an entire angelic army to get him down from the cross, but he did not. Instead, what he did was for us all. What he did was for everyone here. And let me just take another look at the text before I take my seat, because there are some other characters in the text that are important for us. Not only this woman, not only her weeping, but when we look at the text again, we see Peter. We see Peter running to the tomb. Isn't this the same Peter who denied Jesus, y'all? Denied him 3 times, and yet he's up running to the tomb. Y'all say amen. Isn't this the same Peter who drew his sword and cut off the ear of a priest's servant? Come on, somebody. Isn't this the same angry Peter who would get violent and start using his weapons of warfare? Isn't this the one who gets up and runs to the tomb? Isn't this the one who denied Jesus? And at this moment, in this text, he is running to the tomb. In our time, folk like Peter would have been canceled. People still talk about Peter denying Jesus, and they sit right there. People still talk about the violence of Peter and how Peter would turn to cussing, and they sit right there. But I'm glad that the writers left Peter in the text. You know why? Because, baby, if Peter could be counted as one of the ones who got up to see and be a witness to the resurrection, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. Because such as we are, some of us are cussing disciples. Some of us are violent disciples. Some of us hold Jesus when we want to hold Jesus. Some of us deny Jesus when we want to deny Jesus. There's hope for us. There's hope for us. When you see Peter in this text making his way to the tomb, those of you who are hotheads, baby, there's hope for you. Those of you who are prone to go fist to cuff. Come on. I know I'm stepping on toes. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. The Lord keeps working with us, my friends. The Lord does not give up on us, my friends. What we learn from Peter is that God loves the faithful and God loves the failing. Let me repeat that. What we learn from Peter is that God loves the faithful and God loves the failing. For God so loved the world, the faithful and the failing, that God sent God's Son for you. Peter running to the tomb is the other side of the story of a man many of us would have given up on. But God's grace, this is where we get to see it for ourselves. God's grace, my friends, is not dependent on what we can do to make ourselves worthy. When I was younger, I used to say, well, I'm going to go to church when I stop doing this. No, no. God's grace is not dependent upon you stopping something. God's grace is not dependent on what we can do for ourselves. God's grace is the gift for you just as you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was for everyone. It was for everyone, Allie. Isn't that amazing? It was for everyone, LV. Isn't that amazing? It was for everyone, Cheryl. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is for you. No matter what kind of person you are, Jesus is for you. There at the tomb. There at the tomb. It was for everyone. For Mary Magdalene, for Peter, and for the disciple who loved Jesus. Because even if you think you have to have it all together to be with Jesus, you really don't. Jesus loves you, and you can't fix yourself up for that. The story is, turn it over to Jesus. Jesus gave himself for us. Ought we not give ourselves for him? May it be so. May you be blessed. May you be blessed. May you walk in that this week. May you walk in that this week. And hopefully, may you go and tell somebody else, as Mary went and told the disciples, I've seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Amen and ashe. God bless you all. I think I have a few minutes to receive any questions that you may have. For those of you who are new with us today, I generally take a few questions after sermon because the questions help to finish and complete the sermon. People will have their own interpretation of sermons, but I try my best to answer any questions you all might have from the text or the sermon. Any questions, any comments? Any questions, any comments? If there are no questions, don't feel like you have to have questions. I might have been just that grand today, y'all. I might have just been that good today where I answered every question. Praise the good Lord. Praise the good Lord. I'm glad about that. All right. I don't see any questions, so I want to thank you all for being with us this Easter. And I want to ask you if you would prepare your hearts to bless the church. We have a text number for those of you that want to give to Urban Village.